Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
A Tuesday, January 9th edition of the Eagle Hour, to be specific. Glad that you're with us on the Super Talk network of stations or online or wherever you might be listening today. Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And kind of a unique situation today where boss man Bob Getty is actually in the Southern Bancorp studio in Laurel, and we check in there. Bob, good afternoon, buddy. You all right?
I'm good, Kelly, and I'm in here with the one and only Will the Thrill Tony, who is our operations man and morning show host here in Laurel. So beautiful downtown Laurel. Always fun to be back here. Really great community.
So with Will the Thrill there, no caffeine necessary. This first segment of the program.
there will be some caffeine later.
Brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a big supporter of Southern Miss Athletics and a big supporter of your family. If you want to make things easy on yourself for any small or large gathering, let Dickey's handle the catering, and you can dine in or take out. We're glad that they're part of our family here on Super Talk. And joining us on the line is men's head basketball coach Jay Ladner. And, you know, we've heard what a difference a year makes. My goodness, what a difference a couple of days makes. His Eagles team open conference play down in Statesboro, Georgia, we're beaten by Georgia Southern, who we are learning that Eagle team is much better than a lot of people anticipated. And then comes home and a couple of wins, but one, the big one that everybody's talking about, of course, is the last one. James Madison comes in undefeated on the year, ranked in the top 20 in the country, and the Eagles handle James Madison and hand them their first loss of the season. Coach Ladner, glad that you're with us. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Always honored to be on, Kelly. I appreciate you and Bob and Luke, of course. I don't know if Luke's there today, but when he is, but I do appreciate y'all having me on.
Hey, let me start the conversation with this, and I asked Austin Crowley this yesterday at practice. How can we look, and I say we because we love our Eagles, how can we look so, well, not very good, let's just put it that way, against Georgia Southern, and then come home and wallop an undefeated top 20 ranked team within a week of each other?
Yeah, Kelly, that's hard to describe. You know, after looking back at the film of that game, you know, if it was a lack of effort or, you know, attitudes issues, but it wasn't. Our guys actually played hard. I'll point to some very objective changes that were made. One, after that game, and I want to give Juan Cardona, our defense coordinator, all the credit. Juan and I, of course, spent several days, it seemed like, together, almost kind of resetting things, reevaluating things, and Juan came to the conclusion, and I did too, that, hey, Juan, I think we need to simplify things. I thought things defensively, he did too, that we were a little bit confused in our matchup zone. As most people know, we play a combination of a matchup zone and man-to-man and mix it up. And sometimes one of the values is a lot of people don't know what we're doing. And but I thought in this case, our players didn't know exactly what we were doing. And we got a little confused early in that game, and we let Georgia Southern, they made 15 threes. We let some people it let a lot of shooters open, and once they got going, of course, they were desperate, and we just didn't have an opportunity to they built such a big lead, you know, and of course, like I said, the once the momentum got going, they were, when I say they were desperate, they had not won a game. I mean, it was just hard to stop the momentum. That was one thing. Then we've made some lineup changes. We went to a more of a much smaller lineup, but more a lineup that we put Curbelo into the lineup at the one. Of course, Austin Crowley at the two, Donovan Ivory at the three, and Donovan had started some, not started some. Victor Hart at the four, who has been playing really well. And then we went Victor Owako at the five. So it was a little smaller than our lineup that we had when we had Tegra Izay starting and Owako. And we've had very good rhythm and flow. And then the guys that are coming off the bench now, of course, Mo Arnold, who has started most of the games, he's actually really flourished. Kobe Montgomery's beginning to find himself. Bryson Hall and Tegra Izay are finding themselves. So it's kind of a combination, a change of scheme, simplifying some things, and then I think a little bit of a lineup change has kind of paid some immediate dividends.
Well, Bob, the victory against James Madison certainly has the town talking, doesn't it?
No question about that, Coach. Very exciting. Interesting to hear the James Madison coach talk about the crowd and how intimidating the crowd was. I want to ask you about this player. I had the good fortune of bumping into you at a local pizza place back in the summer when Owako came here mm-hmm. from UNLV. And watching, and I've watched every game, I'm very impressed with this kid. I'd like to get your thoughts about the impact he's had on the basketball team.
Well, you know, some people, of course, some of our own fans, as y'all know, have a hard time understanding the process. Maybe they've never participated in athletics, have a hard time understanding the process of players and a team coming together in this day and time of transfer portals, and you don't have that 2 and 3 and 4 year growth period. And now you're basically playing year to year, and sometimes it takes a little more time for some groups versus others. You could have brought Felipe Hase, inserted him to any team in the 351 Division I teams, and because of his experience, basketball IQ, he was going to make that team better. We were fortunate to have that last year, and of course Neftali Alvarez. And then this year, of course, we've got not basically an entirely new group, but you got a bunch of new faces, and that was one of them. And of course, VI has a lot of things that Felipe doesn't have. An incredible athlete, an incredible ability to block shots. You're beginning to see that. He's an elite defender, but he's just a totally different kind of player on the offensive end than Felipe was. Well, so with that being said, it's taken him a little time to kind of understand the offense and fit in, and you know, all the different things. But he's finally beginning to have a comfort and get into a comfort zone and beginning to play with a lot of confidence. And as I said, he's an elite defender. Last year, I want to back up and put it in context. He played at UNLV. He was a top 100 player out of high school. Went to high school in Dallas. Signed with Oklahoma. Played at Oklahoma his first 2 years. One of the assistants at Oklahoma got the job at UNLV. He played there his next 2 years. Of course, one of those is last year. We played UNLV right before Christmas. We were 11-1, and they may have been 12-0. It was a really anticipated game, and of course they ended up beating us, but they were the first team that put a smaller, and of course he's 6'7", but put a smaller, more athletic guy on Felipe, because of course Felipe played like a guard. Well, up to that point, everybody that guarded him would guard him with their center, which was great for us because their center couldn't guard him out on the floor. And I thought it was a good coaching move, but I was very impressed with the job that he did. And when he got into the transfer portal, we went guns blazing to get him. And so, right. Anyway, we were glad to get him, but it's taken him a little while to kind of become accustomed to the offense, defense that we run, and the teammates. And but he's beginning to do that. And I mean, he is a shot blocker. He's just got that rare. It's something you can't teach either. I take no credit for it, but he is a shot blocker extraordinaire.
And another player that seems to me that is developing is Tegra Izze, Coach.
Yep. Yes. And, you know, a lot of people, again, you hate to have to always seem like you're defending guys. But, you know, Tegra, here's a guy that broke his wrist at the end of his junior college season last year. And he did not get full clearance to begin practicing until about 2.5 weeks before the season started this year. And not only did he have a cast and then of course brace, all that type of stuff on his arm, you know, he couldn't move it. And when you go that long, his muscles had atrophied. And I don't know if that's the right word or not, Bob. I may have used the wrong version of it. Anyway, he had lost a lot of strength, and he'd lost a lot of mobility in his muscles. So a lot of y'all may see him out there. He'll go get his hand on some balls, and a lot of times he'll fumble it away. And it's not because he doesn't have good hands. He's still working to get his mobility and strength back in his wrist, of course, which is critical in terms of especially for an inside player to be a play inside.
Well,
anyway, he's coming on fast too.
Yeah, I kind of describe Southern Miss as the Humane Society for college basketball players. You know, guys are just kind of left out to the side, and Southern Miss pick them up, make them stars.
We're the French Foreign Legion.
a lot of flavor for sure. We're going to talk more about the games coming up when we continue our discussion with Jay Ladner next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Continuing our discussion with men's head basketball coach Jay Ladner, this segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Open 24 hours a day on the web at Campus Bookmart. That's with a T, campusbookmart.net. Even clothing and Southern Miss apparel in my size. Now, Miss Kathleen might look at you and say, "What did you say?" when you tell her my size, but they actually have stuff that's that big. So you can check them out.
They call it the Kelly section.
The USS United States ship shirts.
So, Kelly, you're telling me there's hope for me?
Yes, Will. I wish I was your size, Will. I'm working on it. Working on getting down there. Coach Ladner joins us now as the Eagles embark upon a two-game road trip. They will head to Monroe on Thursday night to take on the Warhawks, who are 4-9 overall. But remember what happened at Georgia Southern. We're going to talk about how big Louisiana Monroe is. And then they will head to Troy to take on the Trojans. The Troy Trojans are 3-0 in conference play so far this year. So right back out on the road, Coach, and you got two completely different teams, but both good teams that can cause some real problems for you.
We're a prime example that in our league, there's no one in our league that we cannot beat, and there's no one in our league that can't beat us. And I think I probably speak for all the remaining 13 teams besides us. It's a very balanced league. It's hard to win. Winning a Division I game is hard anyway. I mean, I don't care home or wherever you play. It's a difficult thing. A little bit about Louisiana Monroe. That's been a traditional before my time. It's been a difficult place for Southern Miss to play for many years over there, and it's a unique situation. There's a long time competitor, opponent. But here's the thing that's concerning to me. First of all, they're very well coached. A guy named Keith Richard is their coach, and he does an outstanding job. Very, very good on both ends of the floor. He's not just a defensive guy or an offensive guy. He's a really good coach. And doesn't get the credit probably that he deserves in a place that's I'm certainly a challenging place to coach.
Well, he was coach, wasn't he? A disciple of Mike Vining.
He sure was.
Yeah, yes. Who when you played at Southern Miss,
Mike Vining, who who's on their radio. I talk to Coach Vining every time that we go play over there.
Okay.
And he's part of their radio broadcast team. But anyway, Kelly, they're very unique compared to other teams in the league. They're the biggest team inside the league. And when I'm telling you that they've got two starters and then a guy comes off the bench that are monsters. I mean, these guys are huge, 6'10", 6'11", but wide-bodied. And, you know, that's just not other than Tegra. That's really not our makeup. You know, we're more lean and, you know, probably look more like traditional basketball players as opposed to those guys who look more probably like they could play on the Monroe football team.
Right.
But anyway, that's a concern. They've got two high-volume guards, Tariq LaCour and Savion Galyon, that can really fill it up from outside. Those are their really go-to scorers. And then they've got some very just kind of – I call kind of – every time we always played, even when I was playing, it was Northeast Louisiana back then. They always were just real physical and tough, and, you know, it was just hard to play against them. And they actually upset us in 88 that kept us from going to the NCAA tournament right at the end of the year. We played them in a non-conference game. While we were playing a non-conference game late in the season, for some reason we had a bye, I don't know, but they upset us. Coach Vining was coaching, and you know, he and I talked about that game over there in 88, and it cost us an NCAA tournament bid. Left us at 19 wins, and this was the year after the NIT championship. But anyway, so they've been a traditional tough opponent. They're well coached. They're odd to us, meaning a big physical team. So we got to get off to a good start. Hopefully we'll keep shooting it as well as we've been shooting it, and hopefully we can survive this one on Thursday. And then, of course, going to Troy. Troy's that's a tough place. We played there last year, had a real hard fought game, were able to win it. And but they've got another good competitive team, and they're off to a good start at 3-0. So anyway, we'll have our hands full. If we could somehow survive this road trip, we would have been off to a great start, and give us a chance to kind of come back home and hopefully build some momentum off of last Saturday's and last Thursday's and Saturday's win.
You know, Bob, when you look at the standings in the Sun Belt, everybody's eating each other. You know, I mean, there's just
tough.
Other than JMU,
we saw that last year. Coach, you know, last year was great. Expectations are very high again for basketball. You lost two great players last year in Hase and the kid that I thought was the MVP, Pinckney.
Yeah.
And I know that you didn't get off to the start that you wanted to. How much of that has been having to build new chemistry on the team, and how much of that has been trying to find a replacement for those two kids that were so valuable to your squad?
Yeah, and Kelly, Bob, I'll add a couple more. Of course, we were anticipating having Neftali Alvarez, as y'all know, who's probably a first-team guard. We lose him in the preseason. And then a lot of people kind of forgot about old Denaje Harris. You know, he averaged 9.5 for us last year, steady as they came. Mm-hmm. Arkansas came in here and picked him up off our roster. And, you know, we've missed him. Yeah, and he was just a good kind of steady and deal. So that's four starters right there, you know, that we lost. And it just takes time. We lost a couple of early games that we could have gone either way down in St. Augustine, Florida, in a tournament. Utah Valley and Fullerton State, and it kind of knocked us back on our heels a little bit. We weren't playing. I thought we were playing hard, but we weren't playing well and weren't playing with a lot of confidence. But our guys have never panicked. You know, we say put on the earmuffs and the blinders and don't listen to all the social media. Just stay focused on the task at hand and come to work every day, and that we have a good basketball team, and eventually it's gonna all come together, and we're beginning to see the early parts of it, and so I'm real pleased with that, and you know, we're still not where we need to be. Andre Cabello is a great example. You know, he's been playing for about 3 weeks. He's probably about 3 weeks away from getting in top physical condition, but you know, every game he's gotten a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. Yeah. So a lot of it, though, to answer your question, Bob, definitely has to do with it. Sometimes the process just takes a little bit longer than others, and then, of course, in our case this year with the injuries, and then with Alvarez, and then Cabello not being ruled eligible till a few weeks ago. He's played five total games now. it just takes time. And but they're beginning to figure it out, and the coaches are beginning to figure our team out a little bit and putting us in the right offenses and defenses to get it done.
When you talked about Curbelo, that triple double that he put together last week, the number that jumped out most to me, Coach Ladner, was rebounds. You don't expect a guy that's you know, not very big to come up with that many rebounds. That was astonishing to me.
Let me interrupt real quickly. That's not what stunned me. What stunned me was when I heard that the last time that happened, Coach, you were playing high school basketball. Is that correct?
I was actually in the ninth grade. That was at Oak Grove. Yeah, when Ronald Jackson, who I remembered well, was a great player. They called him the Beast Hound. He played with Pancake Jackson. You had Cornelius Pancake Jackson and Ronald Beastown Jackson. Of course, they were no relation. Kenny Smith played on that team. The USM had a really good team, and I remember going to watch them all the time as a kid. I was shocked myself, Bob, to find out that it wasn't from that, you know, 1980 that had happened. But Andre has such a great feel for the game, and he's got such good instincts that he can read where that shot's going, and got a great nose for the basketball. I'm not, to be honest with you, real surprised. I think he ended up with like 13 assists, but you know, there's going to come a time where I think it'll be, and I think soon that it'll be shocking if he doesn't have over 10 assists, because he does such an incredible job of getting the ball to people. At the right time, where they can just catch it and score it, make it look easy, which is what an assist is. So he's definitely a unique player in a great sense.
To put that in perspective, Coach, the last time that happened was 3 years before either Luke or I were born.
So, all right, you got to throw that around here. Now, what's that implication?
I'm just saying, of the three people that are in our office right now, Bob, me and Ben were nowhere even close to being born yet the last time that happened.
3 years before. That's a unique thing, man. That's unbelievable. That was the first time since 1980. Unbelievable.
Well, with our crack staff, Bob, is there any way we can book Pancake Jackson on the show?
I want to get them both on. What was it? What
Cornelius
was the other guy, Coach?
Pancake Jackson. And I don't know where Pancake is, but I know that Ronald Jackson, who got the triple-double in 1980, and his was a different one. He didn't have the assists. His was blocks, rebounds, and points. He was a 6'9", big, you know, not a big body guy, but a long player. But he has had an outstanding coaching high school basketball coaching career in Alabama.
All right, Coach, continued success, man. Good luck on the road this week. We hope we're talking about two wins next week.
Always Thank a y'all pleasure, so Coach. Much. Thank y'all so much for having me.
So, Bob, we go from Pancake Jackson. We hope the Eagles flatten their opponents this week. We'll be back to talk more basketball. And is Todd Monken, former Southern Miss coach, headed to the NFL? There's news along that line as well. We'll be back in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The 4th Street Bar and Grill is sponsor of our third segment of the program. Boy, had a large crowd last night for the national championship game that saw Michigan defeat Washington. Interesting stat they were talking about, too, at 4th Street. You know, all four, and I think we might have alluded to this yesterday, that all four of the Division I national champions and the Division II football champions were all from states that bordered Canada. North Dakota, Michigan, Washington, and Montana. Those are all four schools. So, and again, I'll be interested, Bob, as we welcome everybody back, I'll be interested to see when the ratings come out on the national championship game last night, because I talked to a lot of people this morning from around here who are diehard football fans, and they said didn't necessarily have anything against it. They just didn't watch it.
Well, let me address this to those fans. That's on you. You missed one heck of an entertaining football game last night. And Kirk Herbstreit said at the start of the game there was some speculation about what the atmosphere would be like, and he described the atmosphere as awesome. And this is just one fan talking, Kelly. I'd like to get your observation. I found it refreshing to see two schools outside of our region play for a change in the national championship game. And I found the game entertaining and refreshing, and I believe good for college football.
I agree with you on all counts, and I think it sends a message to other schools that it can happen. You know, it can happen. And, of course, the playoffs get extended to 12 teams next year. That will add another element of drama, although I expect when the smoke clears, it'll still come down to the two best teams in the country. I just hope that we don't overexpose these young men to too much football, to where they're getting, you know, career-ending injuries and things like that, because I don't care how good a shape you're in. If you play too long and your body wears down and gets tired, that's when a lot of injuries occur.
Right. But here's a great story from that game, Kelly. And, gosh, I shouldn't bring this up and now forget the kid's name, but he was the starting tailback for Washington, and he was injured. You know, he had been injured some throughout the – anyway, so the kid is from Greenville, Mississippi. He played at Greenville St. Joe, which I'm very familiar with. I did their football games for probably more years than they want to remember. He left Greenville St. Joe, played a couple of years at Mississippi State, was playing but not really starting a lot, I don't think, at Mississippi State. Anyway, entered the portal, ended up at Washington, and here's a kid from Greenville, Mississippi, playing for the Washington Huskies in the national championship game last night. I just found that to be a great, great story.
And that's got to be 1 in 100, you know?
Correct.
Because a lot of kids, as much as people are moving around in the transfer portal, that's what you hope will happen, and good for him. But in other football news, I think going into the break, I said, is Todd Monken headed for the NFL? Well, he has been in the NFL as the offensive coordinator now of the Baltimore Ravens, which, of course, the Ravens could very well win the Super Bowl this year. But what I meant to add was to be a head coach in the NFL. Several reports circulating today that the Los Angeles Chargers have asked permission, along with the Carolina Panthers, have asked permission of the Ravens to speak to Todd Monken about their head coaching positions. And if it were to come down to that, Bob, hypothetically, you'd have to think, man, even though you'd be going in the same division with Kansas City and an improving Denver team, you'd have to think that L.A. Chargers would be the great landing spot because you've got a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert there.
Oh, no question. I mean, a kid with a huge upside and a man that knows how to develop quarterbacks. Remember Nick Mullins? Well, Monken had a big influence on him. Todd Monken, I think, would be a great choice for any head coaching job. I want to ask you, get your thoughts on this, Kelly. It shocked me this weekend, and I didn't bring it up yesterday, but it shocked me to hear that the NFL has decided to take the Saturday night playoff game and basically hold fans hostage. You know, you can sign up for the Peacock streaming service owned by NBC, or you're not going to see the football game Saturday night. No, this has never happened. I saw that today that even players are speaking out about it. What do you think about that, Kelly?
I think this is a precursor to pay-per-view football in the future.
Wow.
I mean, they already kind of threw the NFL Sunday ticket package out there, right? Whether it was with DirecTV and now it's with YouTube TV, where you can pay to get all of the games, not just the ones in your market. Okay, well, now they're throwing this thing in there with Peacock. I think what they want to try to see, and I don't know who will crunch these numbers, but as much money as the NFL makes, could they make even more money by taking the games off of network television completely and just making people do an a la carte pay per game of what they want to see?
When is enough money enough, Kelly? When does the NFL make enough money?
Well, that's a good question. But in this free enterprise society, apparently, you know, there's not supposed to be any limit. But I think that this is going to be a good test for them to see if it works.
Right.
You know, how many people will – now, what a lot of people will do is normally you'll get these subscription services and you can cancel it. You know, you got like 7 free days or whatever.
Right.
And I think what will happen, unfortunately, for Peacock is a lot of people might sign up for it and then cancel it, you know, after the game is over or whatever. But people have to go to a lot of work to cancel those subscriptions. So we'll see how it turns out.
So do you see a day when you would have to pay to see the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I can see. I didn't think I'd see this. You know what we've got now, but yeah, I think there's probably that chance.
I'm in Laurel, as you said. Ben Winpigler is in here with me. I've learned that when you do the show here in Laurel, there's just people coming in and out of the studio.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Yeah, yeah. Ben was in charge of ticket sales at Southern Miss before he joined this motley crew. And we're talking about streaming, Ben. And in your time at Southern Miss, when games began to be available, all the games on stream, did you see a decline in sales? Is there a correlation between every game is available to you on TV and ticket sales?
100%. I mean, because let's be honest. I mean, most people don't want to have to get out and go do something. You know, college football is an experience. NFL is an experience. And that's what you have to sell. Because if you're just selling, hey, you know, watch a football game, well, they can sit and do that from the comfort of their home and, you know, not have to wait in line for the bathroom and pay $60 for nachos and warm beer and cold nachos. And, you know, they'd rather sit at home. So you have to sell an experience. That's why you have to have these big things. So yeah, I do think there's a big, there's definitely a big correlation. And I would agree with Kelly. You know, I think the NFL is moving to a model where you have to pay to watch every single game.
Kelly, don't you prefer to watch sports now in your boxers and knee socks? Didn't you tell me that? You prefer that than go to the stadium?
Yeah, my preferred outfit is my Megadeth T-shirt and my Burger King underwear, my Burger King briefs.
That's only because someone gave it to him.
Yeah.
Exactly, Michael.
That's an image I never needed in my head.
And is it also true that your neighbors, when you started doing that, all pitched in and came over and got you some really secure blinds for your house?
Yeah, I thought that was really nice of them.
It was just great of them, wasn't it, Kelly?
Yeah, such odd timing, too.
Yeah, because all you got to do is pull the string, and you go from seeing everything to seeing nothing. And that was pointed out to me by one of the neighbors. Right. So,
Michael told me he actually saw you one time in the Megadeth T-shirt and the Burger King shorts.
Where were you when that happened? Never said that.
You were not a Megadeth. Michael, you were not a Megadeth fan.
Oh, yeah.
What, you like Megadeth? Yeah. Okay. I got you.
But not on you, Kelly. Are you?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Well, what's your favorite song? I was going to say, while you guys were talking, I was just looking at NFL attendance records because that's the correlation between them going. The last 2 years, 2022 and 2023, and they'll have the final numbers for 2023, attendance has actually been going up. In fact, 2022, they had a record attendance.
In the NFL.
In NFL. So even though they're adding all these streaming options and paying options, you would think that's because you remember the days of the blackout games.
Sure.
Didn't sell enough tickets or get a black game out. You can't watch on TV unless you go. That was for the local markets. For whatever reason, attendance is going up.
Just shows you the good product that they're. I mean, it's a show when you go into an NFL game. So that's.
But I would also, if we looked at college and high school numbers, if they were to even go down from high schools, the crowds are not near what they used to be.
Same with college,
but they're not putting on the show that the NFL does.
Correct. Exactly. Sure, that's right.
Exactly. No, but maybe they should.
But no, what high school should do is with as tight as budgets are, all high schools should stop streaming because you're given a free product.
Well, no, we're
unless they go
that.
To a pay-per-view.
We've already gotten word that there are schools in the state that have decided to do that, cut out all streaming for that reason.
Right.
So,
I believe Petal High School refused to stream their home games this past year because they wanted people in the stands. I think that's smart.
Well, it comes, again, follow the money. I mean, when people are staying at home and not, you know, getting to watch the game for free as opposed to, look, the money doesn't grow on trees, you know?
Yeah, you're going to go if you can't watch. Look, I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guilty of there be a Southern Miss game, and at the last minute I think, man, I'm sit here in the living room and watch this. I think that's human.
Well, the NFL shows, if you put on a big enough show, it doesn't matter. They'll still come.
In Cincinnati.
What I'm really worried about is that ESPN is going to do pay-per-view for the National Cheerleading Championships.
Oh no. Boy, that'd break your heart, wouldn't it?
and my wallet. We'll be back. We've got a few things more to talk about, Southern Miss related. The Eagle Hour winds down after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top.
Our final segment brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. This is DBAT's busiest time of year because, number one, the temperatures are way down, so softball and baseball players wanting to get a jump on the season, want to get in there and use those state-of-the-art batting cages that can set up on curveballs, fastballs, whatever. And it's they're always wiped down, cleaned after every use. It's meticulous in there. But the other thing is after the storms that came through last night and the grass being dormant and everything, it gets real sloppy and muddy outside. So you never have to worry about the indoor situation at DBAT. A lot of coaches will have their team practices in there using the batting cages as well. Look them up online, DBAT Hattiesburg, or you can go by just off of Interstate 59 and see the great facilities and the things that they can offer you and your youngsters. Kelly Sanner and Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancor Studios in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty and Will the Thrill Tony has departed.
He's left the building.
Ben
Will
Winpigler
has left the building.
Yes, is in there to finish things up here in Laurel. A couple things of note. The Lady Eagles will be at home tomorrow evening to take on Old Dominion, and then they will host South Al on Saturday afternoon. So while the men are on the road, the women will be at home. And Holman Edwards, one of the quarterbacks that was brought in to compete for the quarterback position last year on the Southern Miss football team, originally at a French camp by way of the University of Houston. Holman Edwards has entered the transfer portal, and he is looking to see if he might be able to move on to what is now a very crowded quarterback room, Bob, particularly with the Rodemaker, the transfer coming in from Florida State.
Yeah, we wish him well. And, you know, there's good and bad to everything. I think this is the good side of the transfer portal. I think when a young man comes to a university, gives his best effort, but sees that, you know, he's not the fit for that school and he has limited time left to play, they're all competitive, Kelly. They want to be on the field playing, and you wish a kid like Holman Edwards good luck, and you hope that the transfer portal is beneficial to a kid like that, right?
And I think what a lot of people don't understand is that just because athletes, and I'm not saying this is the case with Holman Edwards all, because he's a fine young man and a quarterback, but just because people sometimes will put their name in the transfer portal doesn't mean they're going to get any bites.
Correct.
You know, you throw the hook out there and see what might be available. And correct, what might be available may not be something you want. So right, it really doesn't hurt either. I think sometimes the transfer portal gets a negative connotation with it. But what the heck does it hurt just to throw your name out there? And it might be exactly you know, what you need to further
your
career.
We have another quarterback from the team this past year that has transferred to Delta State and will be competing for the job at Delta State.
Jake Lang has one more year left. He did a lot of the holding on the place kicks for the Eagles this year. But, you know, with school starting next week, I understand the students will begin their academic season for the spring 1 week from today. But it's baseball and softball will hit the field next week, next Monday. They will next Monday, believe it or not, they will hit the field. Yeah, the women will begin the first week, about the 10th of February, maybe a little bit before, and of course the men just after that. So it doesn't take long at all.
Kelly, isn't that kind of cruel to make those little snow babies have to come back from Christmas next week? Are you kidding me?
Well, actually, it's a long when you take into consideration their finals are about the, 7th of December? And they're not coming back till the 14th of January? I'd say that's a that's a pretty sufficient break.
Suck it up and come back to school.
Suck it up, buttercup, right? But
what if we tried that?
What?
It might take a month off.
What if we try that?
See how that works in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
That's what's funny, too, and I'll always, not to be, you know, Debbie Downer, but I'll always tell these college kids they should be excited when they graduate and they get that diploma, you know, and I'll always say enjoy it while you can, because tomorrow you're the bottom guy on the totem pole. You're working Thanksgiving. You're working Christmas.
Right.
You're working New Year's.
And you're going to meet Mr. FICA.
Yes. And and we hate Mr. FICA, don't we? He takes just about everything we make.
Tell the story real quick about your daughter when she got into nursing and got her first Mr. FICA check.
Oh yeah, she says, "Dad, I'm making, you know, this many dollars an hour," and she said, "I'm getting my first paycheck today. I'm so excited. I ought to be making this amount of money." I said, "Call me later today when you get that check." Well, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She called me. She was crying. crying. She said, "Dad, they took half. What is this OCI? What is this FICA? What is all this?" And I told her, I said, "Those are the taxes, you know, that pays for this and pays for that." And she became a Republican very quickly. But then get this, she says, "Well, how do I opt out?" I said, "Opt out."
I said, "How do you, Kelly? If you got the secret, tell me, please."
Yeah, it's called parchment. You got a nice little country club up there you can stay at if you don't pay your
free
tax.
Free food, free bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I've been there. I've been there. It's very pleasant.
Yeah, luxurious.
As a reporter, not as an inmate.
Oh, and they'd love me up there with my Megadeth t-shirt and my Burger King underwear.
That's a thought we don't need to put in our heads here at Thursday. Hey, thank you, Kelly.
Hey, tomorrow on the program, John Stewart, men's track coach, will be with us in the studio with some of his athletes. They begin the season Friday up in Birmingham at the Blazer Invitational. And much more Southern Miss news coming your way the rest of the week. So until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world on a mission.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.